Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Good morning. This is Dottie here. I'm the women's pastor from Every Nation Church, New Jersey. Pastor Adam is in New York today. He's preaching and he's highlighting his book. So he asked me if I would bring the message today. And so, you know, the message, I always look for a title. And the title of my message today is Make Room for God. One of my absolute favorite worship songs is called Set a Fire. Now the words go, set a fire within my soul. I want more of you, God. Now fire, biblical fire, represents God's holiness, his presence, and his power. Now when you sing those words or when you just say those words, set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. God will hear that. He will respond to that. But what you have to do is you have to make room for God. You know, you have to make room for things all the time in our everyday life. I mean, how many of you have just done spring cleaning? You know, we're just getting into summertime. Spring cleaning is when all this stuff that you're holding onto, it's in the corners. You have duplicates of it. Stuff, you know, that's just, and it's hard to get rid of sometimes. Like clothing. You can have a clothing. You haven't worn it in a couple of years, yet you're still holding onto it. I'm famous for that one, just holding on to clothing. And the thing is, when I finally do decide to part with it, give it to Goodwill, give it to somebody, it's all the time. A couple months later, that's the very article of clothing that would be perfect for whatever I'm doing. It happens all the time. Anyway, men too, they hold on to clothes, right? They hold on to clothing. It could be they don't want to get rid of it either. It could be that t-shirt that maybe reminds them of a special occasion, or it could be that sweater. Yes, it has a little tear in it, but it's your favorite sweater, and it's so soft, and you just can't part with it. You know what my friend told me her dad does? He holds on to old underwear. Is that a guy thing, holding on to old underwear? That's what her dad does. And the only way you can get rid of it is her mom waits till he's not around, and then she can throw it out. Also, how about DVDs? Do people hold on to DVDs? You don't have a DVD player. You cannot buy a DVD player, yet you're still holding on to them. Or CDs. You have all these CDs, nowhere to play them. And men, how about the toolbox? You have this toolbox with all these things you never use, nuts and bolts. You know, we have that tendency to hold on to things. Well, we do spring cleaning in our home. What we have to do is spring cleaning spiritually too. All those things that are pulling at us to do. All those things, those never-ending lists. To make good room for God, sometimes you've just got to let go of some of those things. You know, we can have all kinds of clutter in our mind, all kinds of clutter in our spiritual life. I mean, it could be past hurts that just keep rising up again and again, when the only person or the only place that you can heal those hurts is when you make room for God. He is the only one that can possibly really totally heal you of them. How about unforgiveness? You think you've forgiven someone, and again, it keeps rising up again and again. But only God can set you free. He is the only one that can set you free. Another thing is in our minds, some of those negative words that have been spoken over us. It could be yesterday, yesterday someone said something to you, criticized you, or they could even be words from when you were a child, and they still, you're trapped in them as far as your identity is concerned. But God can take the sting out of those words and just kick them out of your head. And he can replace them with what he says about you. So what does God say? You are my child. I chose you. You are victorious. And you are loved with an everlasting love. And the more you make room for God, the more you will start to really believe that. You know, one of the things I always say is we learn from each other. I know I learn from people in the congregation all the time, people in my Connect group all the time. We learn from each other. And at my Connect group, Sue Hiles is in one of the people in my Connect group. And she shared with us something that she does, which is just brilliant. I mean, when I heard this, I knew this was just an awesome thing to add to our schedule. And what she does is in the top of her journal, she writes, my relationship with God. God today. And she writes down things all throughout the course of the day of what is how her relationship with God is developing or what she's doing. And we can do that. We can either do it in the morning, we can do it throughout the course of the day when you have a moment, or you can do it at night before you go to sleep. But it's just a great thing to do. And when she said this, it inspired me to do that. And the very next day, that's what I did. I wrote up there in that journal, my relationship with God today. And this is what I wrote. I wrote, Jesus, as I draw ever so close to you today, I am aware of your goodness, your faithfulness, your mercy, your compassion, your love. I delight myself in you today. I am so grateful that you are not only my Savior, but you are my husband. I love you, Jesus. I love you. And I know as I do this, I am making room for God, because what I'm doing, my thoughts and my emotions are centered on Him. And bottom line, our relationship with God is the most important thing in our life, which reminds me of the story of Martha and Mary. And it's Luke 10, 38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on the way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet listening to what Jesus had to say. But Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. And Jesus, this was his words, he goes, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. We make room for God when we choose the most important thing, and we must choose it again and again. God did not call us to live busy lives. He called us to live fulfilled lives. And a fulfilled life is one that is filled with power and passion and Holy Spirit, and Holy Spirit powers that are just flowing in you and through you, empowered by God. So you have to make space for these things. Sometimes you have to let some things go. Remember Jesus' word, Mary has chosen what is better. I will not take that away from her. His story, her story, doesn't discourage service, but it's encouraging that we would have balance in our life. We must always strive for balance in our life. Now, Mary, she understood the priority of choosing to be with Jesus. It's a choice we make daily, and it is intentional. We intentionally make room for God the Father, we make room for Jesus the Son, and we make room for the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, because all three of these things are God in a different form. Ask yourself, am I living a busy life or a fulfilled life? Jesus had a lot of going on in his life, a lot, but he intentionally made time to be with his Father. He always went off alone to pray and for that intimate relationship with his dad. These were Jesus' words. The Son can do nothing by himself unless he sees the Father doing it. Jesus set that example to us. He ministered to others all the time, but he put his Father first. That's why he could say to Martha, Mary has chosen what is better, because so did he. I want my life to be one that chooses what is better rather than dominated by works. As a pastor, it's sometimes you have to be caught up. You have to be careful, because you can get caught up in all the things that need to be done. And you have to be really careful, because what can happen is you can get burnt out. You can get burnt out if you're not careful. You get burnt out. You know why? Because the fire has not been stoked. In the Bible, in Song of Songs, it says, love is likened to a blazing fire, suggesting the intensity and passion of it. Keeping that fire burning is up to us. It's pursuing our relationship with Jesus daily. Life, like any relationship, if you don't pursue it, it will weaken. It'll weaken. It's about spending time in the Word, because God speaks to us through His Word. And it's spending time in prayer as we pray to our Heavenly Father, that we are spending time with our Father in heaven. And in worship, as our souls just get filled with praise and adoration for our God. It's about seeking the Holy Spirit to fill us up. The fire of God, it fuels our spiritual passions. It just fuels them. And when we're on fire for God, we will pursue Him. We'll be pursuing Him. You know, I love in the book of Acts, Pastor Adam, he's going to be preaching that for the next year, I imagine. The people in the book of Acts, they pursued God. You know, one of the examples is this is Peter. Now, Peter, he was so filled with the Holy Spirit that his shadow, when it walked by, people were healed. They were healed just by his shadow. And the people, they were hungry. These people, they had great faith. That's why they were healed. That's why they were healed. They pursued God. They were people filled with passion. And I believe as our pastor, as he brings us through the book of Acts, we will be filled all the more with ever-increasing passion and power. Passion and power from on high, because we're going to make room for it in our lives. Now, one of the best examples of Holy Spirit power is Jesus. When he stepped out in the temple, and these were the words that he said in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. That's the great news of salvation. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and it's upon you. Whether we're preaching from the pulpit or whether we're preaching in our daily lives, the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We too are called to heal the brokenhearted and set people free. You and I, as PA says all the time, we are part of the story. And look, remember what Jesus said? He goes, you see all these things I'm doing? You will do greater things than these. You will do greater things than these, because I go to the Father. So all the things we see Jesus do, all of those things, we too can see miracles unfolding as we preach the gospel, as we lead people to Christ, as we lay hands on the sick and see them healed. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, awesome. You know what? You will never get burnt out when you are filled with power and the presence of God. You'll never get burnt out. Now, what happens at the moment of salvation? One of the first things that happens is the presence of the Holy Spirit fills you up, because you're a clean vessel. You're a clean vessel. Once you've repented and Jesus is your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into you. And I'll never forget when that happened to me, the moment of salvation. This love for Jesus saturated my entire soul. My whole being just saturated. All I wanted to do was talk about Jesus. And rightly so, because at the moment of salvation, love is just shed abroad in our heart. Our heart is ablaze with fiery passion for God, a fiery passion. Now, I was a bartender at the time. I came to work one day a totally different person. They were like, what happened to Dottie? I went to work and all I wanted to do was talk about Jesus. I mean, well, you know, when you're in a new relationship, you just want to talk about this thing. Well, that's all I wanted to talk about was Jesus, filled with this passion to just share what I had experienced. And the thing is, you know, my boss, it was like so funny, because I remember one time he looked at me and he goes, Dot, he goes, I never worry about you stealing from me. I just worry about you talking about Jesus too much. But he didn't stop me. He didn't stop me. And what happened, within 6 months, 5 of my coworkers got saved. They got saved. I mean, what happened is I invited them to my home to a Bible study, and right at my dining room table, they received Jesus as their Savior. You know, that's what happens when you are filled with passion, when you're filled with Holy Spirit passion. Passion is contagious, and that's what happened. There I was at work, and this passion was flooding the people there, and it was contagious. It was drawing them in, and that's what God wants to do with all of us. He wants to send us out with this fiery passion. Remember, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into you. Now, my question is not, do you have the Holy Spirit? It is, but does the Holy Spirit have you? As a born-again child of God, you are filled with this Holy Spirit. But are you filled with the Holy Spirit power and passion? In order for that to happen, we need to make room for it. You have to make room. Am I the only one that's ever experienced a time in your life when that passion, that fire is just not ablaze? It's just not ablaze as much. You're doing all the right things. You're reading your Bible. You're praying. You're coming to church. But that zeal, that consuming passion to pursue God is no longer there. You know, that dynamic force in your life. And trust me, it can happen to any one of us. You know what? If you're not hungry for God, you know what can be the reason? Because you're filling up too much on junk food. You're just filling up on junk food. Some junk food, it's like TV, the internet, Facebook, video games, shopping. You're filling up on all of these things. Not that these activities are bad, but if you do them too much, those are what will fill you up rather than the Holy Spirit. And you know, any one of these things can do that. You're just eating too much junk food. And what's happened is you're no longer hungry for the main course, and that is God. You know, and so it could be anything. It could even be ministry. It could be too much ministry or work if it's out of balance. And what can happen before you realize it? More and more, you're just starting to do things in your own strength. You're not that reliant on the Lord anymore. You're starting to do things in your own strength. And that's not necessary because, oh my gosh, we have this God who just wants to empower us and live in us and just drive us to live this incredible life. I love the way Jesus spoke to his disciples. You know, he was preparing them shortly before his death, and he wanted to let them know that there was going to be a time he was not going to be with them the way he had been. And he speaks about this in John 16:7. This way he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you." And you know who the Helper is? It's the Holy Spirit. He will guide us. He will empower us. He will teach us. When you read the scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, give me insight. Give me insight in what this says." The quality of life that Jesus expects us to live is just not attainable without divine intervention. You know, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are called to live a Spirit-filled life. So what does that look like? It's not a formula. No, it's a relationship with a person. That's what it is. A relationship with a person, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Again, I say not do you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? Do you talk to him? Do you pursue that relationship? Like any relationship, if you don't pursue it, it will weaken. It'll weaken. The Holy Spirit is a person just like Jesus, and he was sent by the Father just to be there to strengthen us and lead us in all aspects of our Christian life. He is our helper. He is our comforter. He is our teacher. All of these things. As I was preparing my message, you know what I realized? That I had been somewhat neglecting my relationship with the Holy Spirit. That not that I didn't know the Holy Spirit, because I do, but not in the same deep, intimate way that I pursue God the Father, that I pursue Jesus. The Holy Spirit, no, I have not pursued him in that same way to build that relationship. I realized that. And you know, the more I realized that, I also, you know what I realized? More and more, there is so much more waiting for me. So much more. That's what I love about being a Christian. You're never just there. There is always some place new that you can go. And this excitement just filled me up of what I have in store as I build this new relationship in a new way, as I go and I pursue it. And the thing is, I want you to go there with me. Now, some of you may already have this relationship with the Holy Spirit. It is vibrant. I mean, it's filled you up. You have this intimate relationship with him. But if not, that door can be opened wide today. That door can get open. All you have to do is step in and ask. And the Holy Spirit is right there. That's what I'm finding. A Spirit-filled life. You know when it begins? When you know you're absolutely powerless without it. Without the empowerment of the Spirit, you are powerless. Until that truth grips your soul, you will never experience the full-grown power of the Holy Spirit. But as we develop this relationship, the Holy Spirit will guide us in all things. He is known as the Spirit of Truth. He will guide us into God's perfect will for our lives. He is our teacher. And it's not just intellectual knowledge. It includes spiritual knowledge and discernment. And the Holy Spirit will empower us in everything we do. When we open our mouth, He will anoint us to speak forth the gospel. We can lay hands on the sick and see them get healed. He's there to be with us and empower us in everything we do in this life. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it so good? As a Christian, we should be on a great adventure. And the more we make room for God, the more He will bring us there. That power, it says it in Zechariah, not by might, not by power, but my Spirit, says the Lord. He will lead, and the Holy Spirit, He'll lead us to Jesus all the time. He'll fill us with passion for the one who gave His life for us. I find when I say, Holy Spirit, fill me up, you know what happens? The name of Jesus starts bubbling out of me. I'm start going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He just starts bubbling out of me. He brings me right to my Savior, right to Jesus. And rightfully so, because there's power in the name of Jesus. Power in His name. The Holy Spirit will really lead you into divine appointments. He'll lead you into these divine appointments. If you listen to Him, He'll do that. It reminds me of our own Raquel, who's part of our congregation. She was home, and the Holy Spirit said to her, I want you to go to your neighbor and bring her water. And she's like, okay. He says, I want you to step in. If she doesn't open the door, just go in uninvited. I want you to go there and bring her water. Well, she did that. And she went in there uninvited. Said, okay, I'm going into this house uninvited. She finds her neighbor, Karen, on the floor, close to death, dehydrated. So Raquel saved her life. She bring her water just the way God sent her there. And I love when Raquel shared this with me. She was weeping. She was weeping when she shared this because she was so overwhelmed with just knowing how beautiful God is, how good God is, and how the power and presence of God, that God used her. He used her. And the thing is, He used her because she had this really strong relationship with the Lord. She'd already been listening to His voice, and she was obedient. She was obedient and did what the Spirit told her to do. I think of Gail. She related a story to me. She was running one day when she was in college. And at the side of the road, there was a young woman that was crying. And she felt the Spirit say, you should go over and talk to her. Well, you know what happened? The Holy Spirit, the Lord, stopped her in her tracks. She could not move forward. There was this wall. And she's trying to, even if she tried to run, she couldn't move. That's the power of God. He stopped her right in her tracks. And she went over to this woman, and she talked to her and became a friend and invite her to many of the Christian activities in her college. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And, God, He will use us. He will set up those divine appointments. I think of one in my own life that had been put into place many, many years ago. When I was just 16, I married my daughter Dawn's father, and my mother-in-law was a piece of work. This woman was a piece of work, man. She had three sons, and none of her daughter-in-laws were good enough for her sons, including me. And she would criticize me to John, and he would get so upset that he wouldn't talk to his mother for a week. He would get so upset, right? So, but the thing is, he would tell me what she said. And I remember one time, because we had a dog, and I let the dog out. I just didn't close the door in time. And she said, oh my gosh, she can't even take care of a dog. How is she ever going to take care of a baby? And things like that. And he would tell me these things, and I would cry. But I had this relationship with this woman because she was my neighbor, and she kept knocking on my door. So we were together a lot, And during the course of this relationship, this would happen momentarily. She would just start saying stuff about me to John. He wouldn't talk to her. So anyway, I guess when Dawn was maybe about three, four months old, I finally got the courage to say something to her. I'll always remember it too. We were sitting at her kitchen table, and John, it had been 2 weeks, and he had not talked to his mom. And I looked at her, and I said, Mom, I said, you have got to stop criticizing me to your son, because Mom, you are going to lose your son, Mom. You see, I never say a bad word about you. You're his mother. I wouldn't do that. You know, so do me a favor, Ma. If there's anything, you know, that's wrong with me, you think this is wrong, just come and tell me about it and leave him out of it. Well, that changed everything. I became one of her kids that could do no wrong. That's what happened. She didn't criticize me to John or to me. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, isn't that good? You know, and God, even God, had it been with me back when, to have responded that way to that whole situation, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. I can still remember a couple of years later, she said to me, you know, I have three daughter-in-laws, but you are the only one that I love. You know, God had opened the door to this strong relationship. It was a divine appointment. Although John and I got divorced after about 10 years, we were just very young, and we didn't know the Lord. We didn't know the Lord too, you know, so it was hard. But I stayed very close to my mother-in-law and to John also until, you know, he died when he was very young. But the divine appointment that came to pass came years later when Anne had heart failure and she only had months to live. And at this point, I knew Jesus at this point. And the Holy Spirit led me to go and see her. She was living at her daughter's house at the time. And I went and I sat by her bedside and I took her hand and I led her to Jesus. I can remember that moment like it was yesterday as I just led her to the Lord. And this heavenly hope just filled her being. And I went back week after week and I would just minister to her and tell her all about Jesus. And Mom, this isn't the end. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. You are going to be in heaven, Mom. And Jesus is waiting there for you. He is waiting there for you. And it was a divine appointment that God had set up many years before. Many years before. And he can do that with you too. There could be people, somebody you knew as a child, and all of a sudden he'll put them back in your life. And it's a divine appointment that you're supposed to lead them to the Lord. You know, or someone you knew, you know, in college. But God will do that. He too will lead you into all of these divine appointments. Now, in closing, what I want to highlight too is what it is to have the manifested presence of God, where God actually reveals his glory to us. Now, God is omnipresent. He is always here. It's always all around us. There's a personal presence of the Holy Spirit that is God in us. But then there is the manifested presence of God. God wants us to move beyond just a consciousness of him to have an actual encounter with him. An encounter with him, to experience his glory, you know, and that's what Pastor Adam talked about a few weeks ago in his sermon on June 9th. Pastor Adam was leading a seminar when a guest speaker, his name was Pastor Taylor Stewart, gave a teaching on the Holy Spirit. And after his teaching, he had the people pray and ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that they would cry out, we want an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you know what happened? The glory of God filled that room. And P.A. described it like this, like a thin heaven. And there was the weightiness, because the glory is described as being weighty. He said, as the presence of God touched the people, some were violently weeping. Others were on the floor. They couldn't even stand. And others were rejoicing, you know, just totally rejoicing in every way, passionate. They were having a personal encounter with God. Our bodies and our emotions respond when we have an encounter with God because it's just so powerful. But not all experiences are this profound. Now, I've experienced it this profound. Some of you may have, but they're not all this profound. But they can be. But they also can be, you know, in a moment. It's during a worship service. It can be a single tear that trickles down. Or you hear the message preached. And a tear just comes to your eyes as you get this revelation of this beautiful word. God wants to have a personal encounter with us, to reveal his glory to us. That could happen in the church. It can happen in our own living room. You know, now what, when that happened, when Pastor Adam spoke about that day, you know what had happened? It was a combination of things. One of the things was the gentleman who had preached, he was filled with Holy Spirit power. This man had a really deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. It was obvious. So that was the preaching that went forth. But you know the other ingredient that was there? The people were hungry. They were hungry for God. They came expecting. They wanted more. They were hungry. And the word talks about a people like that. In Matthew, it says, Matthew 5:6, blessed. It says, blessed are the people who are hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. An outpouring comes when we hunger and thirst for God, when we press in for more of him, and we expect it. We expect to experience it. You know, I love what Psalms, one of my favorite Psalms, is Psalms 42:1. It says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so my soul pants for you, O God. The psalmist expresses an intense longing for God, this intense desire to know God more, to know his presence, liking it to a deer, a thirsty deer after water. And God will fill us. God responds to that. As we make room for God, as we hunger, a fiery passion will flood our souls. And you and I, we can go that together as a church, as a church. You know how passion, because passion is contagious. We can do it in our churches. We can do it in our streets. Passion is contagious. Let our prayer be, set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. But it all starts with salvation. It starts with opening your heart and knowing you need a Savior. It starts with repenting when you come to a place of knowing I need to repent, realizing you're a sinner. And then as you turn, as you receive the Lord as your Savior, what happens? The Holy Spirit of God, the very presence of God, fills you up. And this could be that day if you've never experienced that. That is here for you today. And all it takes is a heartfelt prayer that you just ask. When you ask, you will receive. So if that's you, I want you to pray with me. Jesus, I know I am a sinner. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for my sins. I now turn from my sin and receive that forgiveness, and by faith receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, and save me, Lord Jesus. If you prayed that prayer, that is the beginning of the Holy Spirit filling you up with a fiery passion and sending you out. So it's just been a blessing, you know, being with you today. And so my prayer for you is that we will every day increase in our hunger for God, every day pursuing him, that we will choose what is best in our lives. And I pray these things and say these things in Jesus' name. Bye for now. You have a blessed day.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.